بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا. Welcome to another Thursday afternoon edition of Revival in Motion. The program coming to live from Johannesburg, South Africa today. And it's always a pleasure to be connecting to our listeners. A chance to share with you as we journey towards more consciousness and awareness about Islam. My name is Rehana Omar, and I'll be spending the hour with you today as we continue in our discussion, as we explore the rich legacy and history of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the honorable mother of the believers. Ahlan wa sahlan. On the program today, I'll be sharing with you more as we continue journeying through Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's life. We've discussed her experiences. We've talked about what it was like for her as a young child in the early days of Islam. We've spoken about her sacrifices, her struggles. We spoke about her as a young woman in Islam. We've spoken about her as what it meant to be the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and the daughter of Rumman radiallahu anhum. We've spoken about her sisterhood with her blood sister Asma radiallahu anha. And then we journeyed through her early marriage as the wife of the final messenger of Allah to mankind. We've now entered into her marital home. We've discussed what it was like. What did her marital home look like? How many rooms did it have? Nay, it was just one room. We spoke also about the simplicity with which she lived, how she was very particular about giving plenty of sadaqah, plenty of charity. We've spoken about how the legacy she's left behind was a legacy of giving, a legacy of having a giving heart, the legacy of living with generosity. Generosity of her physical and tangible items, her wealthy possessions, but also charity of the heart, of giving freely from her heart. And that's where I want to take off from in today's program. And so it's at this point that I want us to draw a lesson. And I want us to be able to reflect on this. You see, we often talk about and focus so much on giving of our wealth, the tangible wealth. But what about giving of the other gifts, talents, and resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with? Haven't we all been blessed, walhamdulillah, with Iman? And with Iman and Islam comes ilm, comes knowledge. How much of the knowledge we have already learned of Islam are we sharing with others? And here I'm not only talking about our own family, I'm talking about sharing with our neighbors and friends, sharing with our society and community, both Muslim and non-Muslim. What about sharing the talents or resources that you have been blessed with? How do you use the talents Allah has given you to help others, to empower others, to raise up the level of consciousness amongst our ummah, our community as Muslims? So I ask you today, as we talked about last week, Aisha radiallahu anha's generosity, her spirit of giving, of sharing, whether it's knowledge or the legacy of Islamic scholarship, or sharing more about her wealth, or giving of the knowledge she received directly from the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my question to you and to myself is, how much of those gifts and talents and resources that Allah has blessed us with are we sharing with others? And have we made sadaqah, have we made charity a primary integral part of our spiritual routine daily and weekly? Do we give but tell others what we've given? Do we give and then sometimes hold back with the fear that perhaps I may not have any tomorrow? Or do we give charity generously, knowing full well that everything is from Allah and that everything returns to Him, that Allah is the one in control of our wealth, our money, our time, our resources, and that what you and I need to do is to place full trust in Allah and give. Give from your heart. Whether it's your money, your wealth, your resources, your talent, your ability, give. And when you give, give for the pleasure of Allah, knowing that only He will replace and substitute that with even more. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are infinite. So if I'm giving R1, $1, £1 in charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns that to me manifold. So let's not be stingy. Let's not be miserly when we're giving for the pleasure of Allah. Again, whether you're giving money, your time, your expertise, to help others, to empower others, to build the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my final point on the topic of being inspired to give and to be of a generous nature is the month of Ramadan that we just passed by recently was a month of giving, a month of sharing, sharing of food, wealth, knowledge, sharing of dua. But why do we stop? Why do we limit our goodness, our generous spirit, just to the month of Ramadan, of the days of Eid? Why don't we carry through that spirit of generosity today, now, and here? Let's start giving. So ask yourself today, what are my talents? What are my gifts that Allah has given me? And am I sharing it with the world? Insha'Allah. Today we move on to learn more about Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And on the program today, we are going to discover together more about her life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the program today, I'd like to begin by discussing more on a topic that many of us may not be fully aware of, a topic that many of us may not understand well enough. And that's the topic of entertainment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed moderate levels of entertainment. When he saw that Aisha radiallahu anha came to his house, right, he saw Aisha radiallahu anha and he saw that she came, and he actually once asked her this question. He asked her about entertainment, that don't you have any form of entertainment, right? Isn't there something to entertain you? And Aisha radiallahu anha said, and that's what's so interesting, is the way she responded, the way she reacted to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Sometimes what happens is we become so, as we call it, so open-minded that we lose sense of our Islamic identity. And sometimes we become so strict, as opposed to what Islam teaches us, that we make Islam difficult for us and for others. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Aisha radiallahu anha, and she saw that, he saw that she came to his place without any show or ceremony on the day that they joined in marriage. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Oh Aisha, haven't you got any amusement?" The helpers, meaning the Ansar, like amusements. And so there were certain instances when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let his family members watch some games. But I'm going to allow Aisha radiallahu anha to give us a peek into her personal life when she says, I remember Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was screening me with his clothes when the Habashi, the Ethiopian people, came to do a display in the masjid. I watched them until I got tired. In another instance, on the day of a festival of Eid, a group came with shields and spears to entertain the crowds. And so people gathered and they were watching, and Aisha radiallahu anha came near to see what was going on. Because she was at the back, she wasn't able to see the action. So she turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she, of course, said that she wanted to see what was happening. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Do you really want to see?" And Aisha radiallahu anha nodded her head. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted her behind his shoulders, her cheek resting against his cheek, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, "Come on, O Bani Arfida." And after some time had passed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Are you satisfied? Are you happy that she had seen that display of swords and spears?" And by then she was tired, and she said, "Yes." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Then you can go." So this is one such example. It's also true that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intervened when limits were exceeded. One day, a female musician came to play for Aisha radiallahu anha, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Aisha, do you know her?" So Aisha radiallahu anha looked to the lady and said, "No, I don't know her." And so he explained that she was a musician from some tribe and said, "Do you want her to play for you?" And naturally, as no one says no to an offer from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said yes. But when the lady took out what instrument she had, Aisha radiallahu anha noticed there were signs of discontentment on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Aisha radiallahu anha and said, "Shaytan has made his way to the vocal cords of this woman." Subhanallah. The other aspect regards to entertainment was that of competition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sounded out the people around him and took steps according to theirs. It was his general attitude, and he advised his people to do the same. He said, "Walk in step with the weakest among you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person of moderation, and he knew how to act in every environment. As a prophet, he was occupied with the most sensitive work, and he carried out his duty with care. But he did not hold his family to his own standards of sensitivity. As regular people, it would have been impossible for them to endure. He was there to make life easier. Once, when there was a military expedition, Aisha radiallahu anha's name was drawn by lots. And at a certain point in the journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his army to continue while he stayed back with Aisha radiallahu anha. Then he told her, "Aisha, let's race." Surely you've all heard this before, the story. Now Aisha radiallahu anha was small, and naturally she was more agile, so she won the race. Years later, they were on a different journey together. And this time, of course, they had forgotten, you know, about the competition that they had earlier. Well, at least Aisha radiallahu anha forgot. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not forget. And again, he told the others to keep going ahead, and he stayed behind with Aisha radiallahu anha. And so he said again to her, "Let's race." And as before, Aisha radiallahu anha accepted the challenge. They started to run again, but this time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won. And Aisha in the period of this time, compared to the last competition, she had picked some weight, so she lost some of her speed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Aisha radiallahu anha and said with a smile, "This is payback for our earlier race." We're going to pause at that, and we're going to go for our first ad break of the hour. When we return, more on the story of Aisha radiallahu anha. Join me after the break as we continue exploring her rich and interesting legacy. Stay with us.
Babu, why don't you loosen your belt a bit more?
But why now?
Well, it's very tight.
I need to tighten up a bit more. Funds are tight and the cost of living is high.
It's your haram insurance which is tightening our barakat.
Okay, Haju.
Maybe I must tighten up on my cooking from now on too.
No, Haju. We don't need to tighten up. It's okay. Look, I'm even throwing away my belt.
Don't tighten your belt. Change your insurance. Leaving Riba Insurance is easier than you think. Call Amana IFS for all your personal and commercial takaful needs. 0861-786-393. Amana IFS is a registered financial services provider.
Ladies, Classic Creation brings you the latest and exclusive range of abayas, kaftans, and accessories from the fashion capital of the world. Visit them at their new modern boutique for the ultimate shopping experience at 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Linasia, or call them on 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas.
Your Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects, namely building of masajid, madaris, schools and dawah programs for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lillah, sadaqah and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Linasia. Call 011 854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Sedgar's, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing. For the lovers of functional art, try our Carol Boys range. Look at our exquisite furniture and linen department, tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgar's, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenoff. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
You are tuned into Revival in Motion on Radio Islam International.
On the program today, we continue with our discussion on the life and times of Aisha radiallahu anha. What makes her so interesting? What makes her history so captivating? The wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a female scholar of Islam, an amazing individual with incredible integrity, honesty, justice, a sense of justice within her personality. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to be like Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. May she continue to inspire our hearts and our action. May she be of those whom we name our daughters after and seek to emulate in our daily lives. By Allah, one of the greatest blessings within the seerah of Islam, within the history, the Islamic history, within Islam's history, is that of the examples of the mothers of the believers, of how they inspire action within us, of how they inspire us to be better individuals, and how they inspire us to make a difference in our lives, inshallah. Their examples are real. and their examples are filled with interesting anecdotes that remind us to be the best versions of ourselves. Sometimes we look towards role models and we somehow view them as being superheroes, someone we could never be like. But here we have examples of people that are just like us. People who had their sad and happy moments, their worried moments, their anxious moments, and how despite all of that, were able to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Him at all times, and remember the mission with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them for. And that inspires us. That inspires us to move from our comfort zone and to let go of excuses and be better selves, better versions of ourselves. If these Sahaba and Sahabiyat, may Allah be pleased with them all, could endure tests and challenges and sacrifices in Ayyami Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, in the early stages of Islam, then why can we not? Why can we not transcend the barriers we have as well? Why can we not move beyond the limitations that we have put upon ourselves? If you're listening to the program and if you are Muslim and you have been blessed with Iman, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And if you're living somewhere where you are not harassed about your Islam, and the majority of our listeners being South African, where you have freedom of religion, what is there that stops you from making da'wah, from inviting one and all to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit to Him and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're moving on with Aisha radiallahu anha, and again, these little gems and words we're spittering in between is just to inspire you to action. Really, I wouldn't want for us to be listening to the program, taking in and absorbing all the information, and then just having the information with no action. I'd love for you to take the information that I'm sharing with you, these interesting facts from our history, and to use them to carve your own legacy. Take the seerah, listen, learn, remember, share these interesting facts, and then use these facts, use this information to carve your own legacy, inshallah. So we've covered more about entertainment and competition in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. Now we come to another very interesting topic, and it's all about nicknames. Now one day, Aisha radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a new nickname. Now, people in Arabian societies were not called by their birth name, but were named in relationship to someone else. So it was a very common practice, but it was also an important sign of rank and honor. There was actually competition in virtue among people in terms of their names. Some people became so well known by their nicknames that other people actually forgot what their real names were. Generally, these names were given in relation to the firstborn child. So a father became Abu, father of so-and-so, and a mother became mother of so-and-so. People without children were called Ibn, son of so-and-so, or Binti, daughter, so-and-so, depending whether they were a son or a daughter. But actually, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Aisha radiallahu anha by a number of names. The most famous that we know is Humaira. But there's Awaysh, Aish, Bint Siddiq, Muwaffiqa, and Bint Abu Bakr. Again, some of the other names by which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Aisha radiallahu anha, Humaira, Awaysh, Aish, Bint Siddiq, Muwafiqa and Binta Abu Bakr. But none of them could be a permanent nickname. Since everyone she knew had a nickname, a kunya, Aisha radiallahu anha expected to have one also. So one day she was sad and she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, all of my friends have nicknames." That's all she said. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at how he understood the emotional makeup of his wife. He understood her silent request for one of her own. So most likely this was the polite way to ask for something. Perhaps she was asking for a baby who would automatically supply her with a new name as so-and-so, and who would continue the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very kind and delicate way, chose a response that neither made Aisha radiallahu anha sad, nor avoided a reply. And he said, "Then you should take the nickname of your sister's son, Abdullah." Subhanallah. And Aisha radiallahu anha was very astute, so she immediately understood this. And she never made that request again. So from that time, Aisha radiallahu anha was called by the nickname of her sister's son, Abdullah ibn Zubair. And she was known as Abdullah. And that is the story of Aisha radiallahu anha and nicknames. There are so many lessons that we draw from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha just by the nicknames. Subhanallah. We see the sensitivity, the maturity, and the kindness and compassion with which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to her. We see that he understood her emotional makeup, her emotional needs. But he regarded her as a being with individual needs. Subhanallah. And when we all talk about rights and duties and obligations and responsibilities in marriage, we often bypass the emotional aspect. Why do we do that? Marriage is not only about financial, social, physical, but it has everything to do with our emotional well-being and health. There are so many sisters who email me on a weekly basis telling me that they're being abused. Not physically abused, but emotionally abused. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why it's so important for us to know, to understand the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba around him. I often find it strange that many of our brothers do not know the history, the biographies of the mothers of the believers, of the female companions. May Allah be pleased with them. Dearest brothers and sisters, when it comes to Islamic history, we should never distinguish or differentiate between the male and female companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to learning about them. There is value and benefit for all of us to learn about both the male and female companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, and I will keep reminding us of this as we do the series on Aisha radiallahu anha, that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger, He also chose and handpicked the friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose who would be the Sahaba, who would be those companions who struggled and sacrificed with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who would be those companions making hajj, going in jihad, learning salah and wudu from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who would be those companions there to witness and observe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's private and public life? And so these individuals were handpicked by Rasulullah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions. And in that is great merit for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, make us of those who are avid readers and learners of Islamic history, and make us of those who take the history, use the examples to carve out our own legacy, inshaAllah. It's a quarter before the hour of three. We're going to go for our last ad break of the hour. When we return, we continue with more reflections, inshaAllah. Stay with us.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. Entrust us with your Nifl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370, 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesha. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
This August, Women's Month, Radio Islam highlights issues related to female empowerment. Unlike persistent stereotypes about Islam's oppression of Muslim women, the lives of Muslim women have and still provide viable tools to empower Muslim women in so many ways. Having thrown off the shackles of colonial imperialism, Muslim women are increasingly growing resistant to cultural imperialism marketed by the West, even in the form of feminism. Islam is the answer to global inequality and gender injustice. Stay tuned to our morning and evening drive time shows, wherein we unpack contentious issues and between 10 a.m. and 12 a.m. to hear about female pioneers who are more than mere history lessons. Monday to Friday, 10 to 14th August. Hashtag RIY Women.
Islam's website at www.radioislam.co.za. Enlighten and benefit yourself by listening to audio podcasts of various on-air highlights. Listen or download discussions from categories such as current affairs, Salah awareness, family focus, loving our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hijab focus, as well as many other pertinent topics that affect a Muslim. www.radioislam.co.za. Taking Muslims to deeper dimensions and greater heights in the forum of international media. This is Radio Islam International.
Every month, the Jamiatul Ulama's welfare department provides deserving families with food hampers and aids in medical and rental expenses. Rest assured that your charities are discharged only after careful analysis of each welfare case. Forward your lillah and zakah to your nearest Jamiatul Ulama office, confident in the knowledge that your charities are being discharged effectively. Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, serving Allah by serving His creation.
This is Revival in Motion on Radio Islam International.
On the program today on Revival in Motion this Thursday afternoon, we've been discussing the life and times of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. We've discussed how she continues to inspire us, even through competition, entertainment, and her request for nicknames, making her all the more real to us so that we can draw from her examples. We often talk about the need to have role models, but if we are unable to identify with an individual, how do we make them a role model? I'm hoping that as we do this series on Aisha radiallahu anha, that it allows you insight into her life to realize how human she was, how real she was, and how despite all the challenges that she had in her life, she was able to overcome them and live and leave behind a legacy as that of a successful believer. May Allah be pleased with her. Ameen. We're now into the last segment of this hour, and it's here that I want to share with you a beautiful reflection, something that I've been reading and reflecting on. It's from the book Reclaim Your Heart by Yasmeen Mujahid, and it's from a chapter entitled The Ocean of Dunya. Yesterday, I went to the beach. As I sat watching the massive Californian waves, I realized something strange. The ocean is so breathtakingly beautiful. But just as it's beautiful, it is also deadly. The same spellbinding waves, which we appreciate from the shore, can kill us if we enter them. Water, the same substance necessary to sustain life, can end life in drowning. And the same ocean that holds ships afloat can shatter those ships to pieces. This worldly life, the dunya, is just like the ocean, and our hearts are the ships. We can use the ocean for our needs and as a means to get to our final destination. But the ocean is only that, a means. It is a means for seeking food of the sea. It is a means of travel. It is a means of seeking a higher purpose. But it is something which we only pass through, yet never think to remain in. Imagine what would happen if the ocean became our end, rather than just a means. Eventually, we would drown. As long as the ocean's waters remains outside the ship will continue to float and be in control. But what happens as soon as the water creeps into the ship? What happens when the dunya is not just water outside of our hearts, but when the dunya is no longer just a means? What happens when the dunya enters our hearts? That is when the boat sinks. That is when the heart is taken hostage and becomes a slave. And that is when the dunya, which was once under our control, begins to control us. When the ocean's water enters and overtakes a ship, that ship is no longer in control. The boat then becomes at the mercy of the ocean. For us to stay afloat in this dunya, we must view this world in exactly the same way. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, verily, in the creations of the heavens and the earth are signs for those who reflect. Surah 3, verse 190. We live in the dunya, and the dunya is in fact created for our use. Detachment from dunya doesn't mean that we don't interact with the world. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Anas radiallahu anhu said, three people came to the houses of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped. When they were told, it was as if they thought it was little, and said, where are we in relation to the Messenger of Allah, who has been forgiven his past and future wrong actions? He said, one of them said, I will pray all of every night. Another said, I will fast all the time and not break the fast. The other said, I will withdraw from women and never marry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them and said, are you the ones who said such and such? By Allah, I am the one among you with the most fear and awareness of Allah. But I fast and break the fast. I pray and I sleep and I marry women. Whoever disdains my sunnah is not with me. Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not withdraw from the dunya in order to be detached from it. His detachment was much deeper. It was the detachment of the heart. His ultimate attachment was only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the home of Allah, because he truly understood the words of Allah. In Surah 29, verse 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something about the world, about the dunya that we are all living in. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I. He says, "What is the life of this world but amusement and play? But verily the home in the hereafter, that is life indeed, if they but knew." So detachment does not even mean that we cannot own things in the dunya. In fact, many of the great Sahaba radiallahu anhum were wealthy. Rather, detachment is that we view and interact with the dunya for what it really is, just a means. Detachment is when the dunya remains in our hands and not in our hearts. As Ali radiallahu anhu beautifully expressed, detachment is not that you should own nothing, but that nothing should own you. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who realize that the dunya is just that, that it is a means for us, but it is not the end. The Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood and recognized the true nature of this life, of the dunya. He understood what it meant to be in the dunya without being in it. He sailed the very same ocean that we all must. But his ship knew well from where it had come and to where it was going. His was a boat that remained dry. He understood that the same ocean which sparkles in the sunlight will become a graveyard for the ships that enter it. So that was a reflection from a book that I'm reading, rereading rather, by Yasmeen Mujahid, entitled Reclaim Your Heart, about ensuring that while we're of the dunya, while we're in the dunya, that it be a means for us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it not be the end and the be all. That we're not living for the dunya, and that everything in our lives is not based purely on the dunya. And these are reminders that we need often, frequently. They're reminders that we need because it's so easy for us to get caught up in the dunya, to get caught up in buying, in consumerism and materialism, in having and what we have and what we don't have, things that we think we need when in reality we don't. And so it's important that even out of Ramadan, we look back to our lives and we begin realizing that this is all it is. It is just the dunya. It's just part of the journey, a very small part of our true journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us today make the intention to our own selves that we will hold ourselves accountable of our preparation for the akhirah, our preparation for the grave and the hereafter. Are we ready to answer the questions that we will receive in the grave? How much have we sent ahead of ourselves so that we can say we are building our palaces in Jannah? Subhanallah. Do we recite dhikr and build our homes in Jannah? Do you know that the minute we stop making our dhikr and stop remembering Allah, then that building work, building of palaces and homes and mansions in Jannah, that construction is halted, it stops. And the minute we continue with our dhikr, that construction continues. I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that remember Him always, frequently and abundantly. Make us of those that realize our true purpose of having been created, that earth is not our final destination, and it was never, ever meant to be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. May He grant us not only ilm, but the nur of amal as well, insha'Allah. Jazakum Allah khairan for listening in to another live edition of Revival in Motion. I look forward to spending another hour with you on Tuesday at 10 a.m. for Living the Legacy. From myself, Rehana Omar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.